You're listening to another episode of the Main Event Talk Podcast with your host, the Main Event Player, the Super C himself, the God among Gods, the King among Kings, the coolest son of a motherfucking bitch walking God's green earth, and we begin the show right now. Welcome to another great edition of the Main Event Talk Podcast. I am the Main Event Player, the Super C himself, the God among Gods, the King among Kings, the coolest son of a motherfucking bitch walking God's green earth with another great show happening for you. I love how I begin that intro. It's amazing how I can pull all this off and make it happen possible instead of, if you guys have been listening to the episodes and everything, you know that I always begin with this episode of the Main Event Talk Podcast brought to you by Rich's Billiards and everything else like that. But, I've kind of grown tired of it, and it's not like I don't want to put Rich's Billiards' name on it. It's just, I've got to go ahead and, try something a little bit different that's going to stick out the most, get people to talk about it, and then, see where it goes from here. But I like how this went down. So obviously, we got a lot we need to talk about on this episode. I was hoping we'd talk about this today as opposed to yesterday, because we did bring it up, and it was mentioned on the Main Event Talk Podcast at the end of the show, and we're going to mention it to it right here, right now, and that is the releases of the WWE superstars. I gotta say, guys, I mean, the 18 releases, you guys had heard about it. I think you guys have seen what has been going on for the past several days. It has been unbelievably insane of all these superstars that were released. Now, there has been, and we got to talk about this at the very beginning of the show. We're going to talk about the 18 releases, obviously, at the end of the show, and give you my thoughts on each and every one of the superstars. But so far, a lot of people have been focusing on stars like Karrion Kross and Keith Lee and Scarlett, all of those stars, when there have been others that have not been talked about at this point. So we're going to mention those names on this episode of the Main Event Talk Podcast. Now, also, before we talk about the releases and before we talk about some of the things that have happened, I wanted to talk about what happened after the episode of the Main Event Talk Podcast was concluded. Now, it was announced, and we've got to talk about this. And we're going to bring up, I'm fixing to bring up the Wrestling Observer right now, Wrestling Observer Live with Brian Alvarez and Dave Meltzer. Uncle Dave, if you will. Because the announcement for WWE Survivor Series has taken place, and it didn't take place on SmackDown, didn't take place on Raw, didn't even take place in NXT, didn't even take place in any sort of television or any sort of network at all. You know how they announce this shit? They announced it on Twitter. Oh yeah. What a build-up, ladies and gentlemen. What a fucking build-up. They want to go ahead and decide to put Survivor Series together, but they put it together via Twitter. Right? So, in other words, okay, now, I'm not going to announce who the teams are. I'm going to leave that to the Wrestling Observer, so that way you guys can get a listen to it and everything, so that way you know what goes on. So we're going to talk about the Survivor Series. We're going to talk about, after that, the 18 releases and everything. Plus, there's going to be a show happening over at Richard's Village tonight, which we will also talk about. So let's go, let's get into it, shall we? Let's get into the announcement that happened at Survivor Series, the announcement that happened on Twitter. From the Wrestling Observer, Dave Meltzer and Brian Alvarez talking about WWE announces Survivor Series terms randomly on a Saturday on Twitter. Wrestling Observer Radio, here we go.
Speaking of announcements on social media. The WWE randomly out of nowhere today said, hey, in 15 minutes, we're going to start announcing the teams for the Survivor Series.
And they did.
And over the course of the afternoon, they announced that the Raw men's team is going to be Seth Rollins, Finn Balor, Kevin Owens, Rey Mysterio, and Dominic against Drew McIntyre, Jeff Hardy, Xavier Woods, Sami Zayn, and Baron Corbin.
So Xavier's in, but not Kofi.
Yes.
Hmm.
Well, for whatever reason, I don't know if this plays into it or not, but they did a main event on SmackDown of Jimmy Uso versus Xavier.
Yeah.
And the stipulation was that if Xavier won, Jimmy Uso would have to take a knee and acknowledge him as king. And if Jimmy won, Xavier would have to acknowledge Roman Reigns. If anybody didn't see SmackDown and you're listening to this and you expected they abided by the stipulation, you're not paying attention. So, Xavier won, and of course, nobody took a knee because the heels beat up Xavier and Kofi, and they made a specific point that they were taking out Kofi's knee. So, it may be that they're doing an injury angle for Kofi,
or maybe he's legitimately injured.
He could be injured. I mean, he was in there doing spots, so, I mean, before they took out his knee. But one way or the other, they did do the injury angle, so that might be why he's not in the match. And then for the women's elimination match, it is Bianca Belair, Rhea Ripley, Liv Morgan, Carmella, and Zelina against SmackDown Sasha, Shayna, Shotzi, Natty, and Aaliyah. The SmackDown rosters. Oh, my God.
Aaliyah? Yeah, I mean, I saw that, but yeah, that name stood out to me because has she been on television at all?
Well, she was on SmackDown on Friday.
Okay,
and literally,
I did not watch the Friday show yet.
Literally, all she did was Jeff Hardy was doing an interview, and before they interviewed him, he was talking to Aaliyah, and then Aaliyah walked away for the interview, but then he followed her, and like, that was it. That was the entire segment. I mean, there was no match, no big introduction. She was like a tertiary character here on this show. And now she is in the women's elimination match.
Ahead of Toni Storm, who they're obviously...
She's vanished off the face of the earth.
Who they've obviously completely given up on.
Yes.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, you know, all those times when, like, somebody, like, loses on these shows... I mean, like, there's ways... Like, sometimes, like when Carmella loses, like, you know they're pushing Carmella, right? You know, it's like, that's not... You know, whatever. They'll use her loss to push her over the person who won. But when somebody just loses like Toni Storm did to Zelina Vega, and they just go, oh, you know, don't worry about it. It's like, I would say worry about it because history's shown that it means something. And yeah, they just, they've definitely given up on, I don't know what the deal is. I mean... But whatever, you know, it's like, it's Vince. What can I say? You know, Vince decides and everything. I'm surprised about Aaliyah, though. It just surprises me just because, I mean, when she was in NXT, she was not a standout there. She was not one of the better women wrestlers there. You know, Toni Storm's like so much better, but, you know, more charismatic. So, but whatever.
The entire Raw team was on SmackDown before the draft. Now they are fighting for Raw.
Yeah. Well, there's actually a lot of people in these matches that were on the other brand a month ago or whatever it was before they had the draft. Yeah.
Hey, if you're a big fan...
All right, so let's get into this right now. So you just heard the announcement and everything. For Survivor Series, all these matches, and they talked about it. So now, let's get into the Survivor Series. Let's get into what's going to happen, okay? So, the first team that I see, there's actually, it says two matches, but no doubt we got other matches that are going to take place at Survivor Series. So let's focus on the 5-on-5 tag team match that's going to take place at Survivor Series on November 21st on Sunday. Team Raw consists of Seth Rollins, Finn Balor, Kevin Owens, Rey Mysterio, and Dominic Mysterio. Now, automatically, I'll tell you straight up right now, something is wrong with this team. I'll tell you why in a moment. Team SmackDown consists of Drew McIntyre, Jeff Hardy, King Woods, Sami Zayn, and Happy Corbin. Once again, something is wrong with this team, which we will get into in just a moment. Team Raw for the women's side. You got Bianca Belair, Rhea Ripley, Liv Morgan, Carmella, and Queen Zelina Vega. Once again, do I have to say it? Yes, I'll say it. Something is fucking wrong. We'll get to it in a second. Team SmackDown consists of Sasha Banks, Shayna Baszler, Shotzi, Natalya, and Aaliyah. Where do we begin? where do we begin? Okay, let's focus here. Now, before I talk about this, obviously we know the next matchups that are going to happen in Survivor Series. Roman Reigns is definitely going to be challenging Big E, a WWE champion versus Universal champion. The Intercontinental title versus the United States title, which we know the title is held onto by Shinsuke Nakamura. That's the Intercontinental title. We know that the United States title is held onto by Damian Priest. That should be the highlight of the match if it's announced. But no doubt it'll probably will be announced. The tag team champions, the SmackDown tag team champions of the Usos will take on Randy Orton and Riddle, which are the Raw tag team champions. Which to me, I think that's going to be like the hit of the night right there. And to me, and let's call it like we see it. The Usos are going to win it hands down, no matter what. So those are what I think will happen at Survivor Series. They haven't announced it officially, but we all know that's going to happen. So let's talk about the teams here. Seth Rollins, Team Raw, the men's side. So you got Seth Rollins, who is apparently the leader of this team. Somehow that's not a surprise. Finn Balor being a part of the team is not too bad. Kevin Owens being a part of the team is not too bad, but you also got some friction going on between Kevin Owens and Seth Rollins. Rey Mysterio and Dominic Mysterio. Okay. The first three I would have kept. Definitely. The first three I would have kept completely. Now, Rey Mysterio, I would put him in the Survivor Series. And Dominic, I would have just easily got rid of him. Here's why. Dominic is not ready to be a part of this team. Not yet. And to me personally, I think Dominic should be featured something else. I mean, look, it's not like Dominic doesn't deserve to take this spot. His father deserves it more than his son. And this is not one of these situations where, oh, well, he sucks. He shouldn't be there. Everything else like that. You know, that's just me talking, okay? I just think that we need someone like maybe an Edge to come in. You know, give a little edge to the team, if you will. So to me, it should have been, I like the idea of Seth Rollins and Finn Balor and Kevin Owens and Rey Mysterio being there. Dominic shouldn't even be there. If anybody should be there, I think it's Edge simply because he's a, you know, former champion and everything else like that. But unless there's some sort of a contract that says that he can't be a part of it, then I can understand that. So that's one side of the team. The SmackDown side, you got Drew McIntyre, Jeff Hardy, King Woods, Sami Zayn, and Happy Corbin. Okay, Drew McIntyre obviously leading the charge. It makes a lot of sense. Jeff Hardy, it's very surprising that they're using Jeff Hardy in this case, and I think it's good that he's there. King Woods, this is gonna be interesting here because and let me continue on here. Sami Zayn and Happy Corbin, also interesting there as well. I think this team put together automatically the one person I see that should be out completely should I would say Sami Zayn, but I was gonna go with King Woods. Okay. I was actually going to go with King Woods and this one. Let me explain. Because you can see a conflict happening between both King Woods and Drew McIntyre. Let me explain why. Kofi Kingston, I think from what they have just explained on The Observer, is I think Kofi has an injury. I've heard that he's had several knee injuries in his career. So it's nothing new that we've ever heard of. Him being out of the Survivor Series wouldn't be so bad. King Woods, him in Survivor Series, I would have replaced him with somebody else. Someone other than, you know, anybody better than King Woods, in my opinion. But I see a conflict between Drew and King Woods. Simply because, think about this. King Woods, automatically, we know his position of being King of the Ring. And we know he's going to use his power. He's going to proclaim to be the leader of the team, when in reality it's really Drew McIntyre, because he's a former WWE champion. He knows how to lead a team, and people will actually respect him, as opposed to King Woods, who looks like a joke. Sami Zayn being a part of the team, I don't have a problem with that, but I just see trouble brewing with him, and definitely trouble brewing with Happy Corbin, and I. Happy Corbin. It's stupid. I'm sorry. I really don't like the Happy Corbin gimmick, because this is the thing. Everyone has been pushing for this whole Happy Corbin shit, where they wanted him to be a babyface from the start. Now all of a sudden he's still a heel, and it's like it's the same fucking bullshit that we've seen with Happy Corbin. And now you got Madcap Moss involved, and I'm like, oh dear God, these guys are gonna be good. These guys are going to be good together on St. Patrick's Day, especially with a name by Madcap Moss. So I'm not going to give you my predictions as to who I think will win, but it's clearly obvious that this looks good, but it should be structured a whole lot better. And plus, it would have been nice. It would have been on television instead of via Twitter. All right, let's look at the female side of things. Team Raw. Team Raw also, and I just brought this up since the women are going to be involved in it, no doubt that the women of SmackDown, SmackDown's women's champion is Becky Lynch, right? Charlotte is this, SmackDown women's champion, and Becky Lynch is going to be the Raw women's champion, so no doubt those two will probably be face off at Survivor Series, and something is going to go down. If anything, I kind of see this match with Charlotte Flair and Becky Lynch as something like a Bret Hart versus Shawn Michaels. Some sort of screw job is about to go down with those two. I'm not saying it's going to be exactly like that, but something's going to go down with all the backstage heat that everyone's been talking about with Charlotte Flair. Nobody likes her. Nobody gives a shit about her. More people are going to be behind Becky Lynch and all that other stuff. But I don't know. I'm hearing all these stories, but we'll talk about that probably in the next episode. But no doubt that's going to happen. So for Team Raw, we got Bianca Belair, Rhea Ripley, Liv Morgan, and Carmella, and Queen Zelina. Now, this is going to be interesting here. Bianca Belair, I don't have a problem with her being there. Rhea Ripley being there as well, I don't have a problem with that. Although I am surprised that they didn't put her tag team partner in there, which is... Nikki Ash, and got Liv Morgan and Carmella, and so I don't have a problem with Bianca Belair. Obviously, she's the team leader. Rhea Ripley, part of the team, it also makes sense as well. Liv Morgan, nobody deserves that spot more than her. Nobody deserves that spot more than her. Now, Carmella and Zelina Vega. I honestly, let me give you my opinion about this one. Carmella should have been left out. Okay, that's my opinion. I think Zelina Vega would be perfect for there. And I agree. I think if anybody deserves to be in this roster, especially when it comes to the Raw roster, I would have replaced Carmella with... Boy, I don't know what who's in the Raw, who's in the Raw women's roster right now. I mean, I can't even. Tamina? No. She's on SmackDown. I'm sorry. Boy, anybody? Wait a minute. You know what? It just occurred to me. They split the teams of Tamina and Natalya, and yet they're both on SmackDown. Am I right? Anyways, I would have replaced anybody but Carmella. Here's why. Rhea Ripley, talented wrestler, former Raw Women's Champion, former Tag Team Champion. Bianca Belair, former champion in her own right. Liv Morgan, a future superstar. Queen Zelina, a future superstar. Carmella, yes, she's a former SmackDown Women's Champion. But she is a beautiful woman with the... You know, I can't really... At this point, nobody can really take her seriously as a champion. Much, you know, she's just one of those women that, to me, I feel she deserved a whole lot more years ago. But the way she's been presented is completely crazy. So Carmella, to me, I think should not be in the Survivor Series. But that's just me talking. Okay, now on the SmackDown side, Sasha Banks, Shayna Baszler, Shotzi Blackheart, Natalya, and Aaliyah. Okay, now, this one right here. Now, I'll easily say that Sasha Banks is the leader of the team, obviously. Shayna Baszler is the perfect because she's the demonic destroyer or the submission magician, if you will, is that what they call her. Shotzi, I think, once again, just like the other team, is the future because that's how I look at her, kind of like Liv Morgan. And Natalya is the veteran, but to me personally, I think, this is just my opinion, this is just my thought, Natalya shouldn't even be in Survivor Series. Nah, I would have, you know who I would have replaced her with? And they mentioned it. And I think Toni Storm would have been perfect for the team. I think, but once again, you would have three future stars. Because you would have Shotzi, you would have, Shotzi, Toni Storm, and then you got Aaliyah. Aaliyah, who has been a part of NXT for a while, really didn't do much in NXT other than be part of the Robert Stone brand. She kicked herself out of the Robert Stone brand, and now she ends up on SmackDown, and she's her only major appearance. Obviously, she's appeared on certain shows, but also the fact that she's appeared on SmackDown where I saw her having a conversation with Jeff Hardy, and that was it. Now, to me, the SmackDown roster I would have picked, I would have kept Sasha Banks, I would have kept Shayna Baszler, I would have kept Shotzi, Natalya I would have replaced it with Toni Storm, and Aaliyah, honestly, I would have replaced her too. I would have replaced her with, what other superstar on, you know, once again, I mean, I would have kept her too, but I also think she would have been replaced. Both Natalya and Aaliyah should have both been replaced with somebody else, as far as I'm concerned. So that's your Survivor Series. Now, who I think will win for Survivor Series, it really doesn't make a difference. It really doesn't. I mean, it's just Survivor Series is just not, it's just not the same. It just doesn't have that feel. I mean, the only exciting vibe that happened at Survivor Series was a couple of years ago when they had a SmackDown versus Raw versus NXT, which that was pretty good in most ways, definitely, 2 years ago. But now it's just, you know, they've thrown all this together and it's just absolutely ridiculous. So I don't know what to say about that. Okay, so that's pretty much your lineup for Survivor Series right now. No doubt there's going to be several things that are going to be happening in Survivor Series. So, Survivor Series is going to happen live Sunday, November 21st, live on the WWE Network and also live on pay-per-view. And here's also a thing. I know some people have said to me, why do you mention it that it's going to be on pay-per-view when they got the WWE Network or when they got Peacock? Here's why. Peacock still does stream the WWE pay-per-views on their deal and everything else like that, but also they do the Survivor Series on pay-per-view, so people do still order it no matter what. So whether you have Peacock, whether you still have the WWE Network, and people still do have the WWE Network, but that is over on, like, in the UK or in Japan or in certain places. Here in the United States, we've got we got the network, but it's on Peacock, so you can check that out. It's going to happen live Sunday, November 21st, Survivor Series. Check it out on pay-per-view. Check it out on Peacock. Check it out on the WWE Network. Check it out wherever it is you find your favorite network. Okay, obviously the next thing we've got to talk about next is this whole thing involving the 18 superstars that were released from the WWE. And I got to admit, guys, I was, boy, they had mentioned a lot of stuff, a lot of people that were released from the WWE. And I wanted to take a moment to think about this because the WWE has really gone out of their way to really screw this up. And it has made the WWE fans, the WWE universe, if you will, basically some have given up on the WWE because of these releases. They're scratching their heads wondering, okay, one minute you try to build up a superstar and the next you fire him on the spot, right? So it's been absolutely ridiculous within the past few days. And it's just, not just the past few days, but the past few months. And think about this, we're in 2021, right? And all of these things have been happening ever since the beginning of 2021. We're almost at the end of 2021, and here's the crazy part. There's going to be more releases after that. It's not going to surprise me. It's not going to surprise me. Everyone's been saying that they're putting this all up in regards to a sale, right? They're pushing this to be a sale. They're going to sell the WWE. I don't think, this is the thing, I don't believe that they're selling. I really don't. I think what this situation is about is they're trying to, I guess, budget cuts would be an issue, but also, I think they're also covering up some of the stuff that I think we all know about. I mean, there's a lot of stories I've heard about in the past, and it's just such a ridiculous thing to hear about, especially when it comes to, you know, what has happened. So, here's what I'm going to do. So, we're going to talk about the issues of the superstars being released, and we're gonna start off, and we're gonna let WrestleMania help us out with this, so that way you guys can get an idea of not only who has been released from the WWE, but to get an idea as to why. So, with that being said, here's an episode of WrestleMania where they talk about the releases, the breaking superstars. All 18 have been released. They're going to give you the ideas of who was released, why they were released, and everything. And then after that, the main event's going to go ahead and get right into it and give you his thoughts on each of the superstars. Some that I feel should have been released, and others that I feel the company should have left, and where I think their future endeavors are going to be at. So with that being said, let's go ahead and get into WrestleMania and talk about the 18 superstars that were released from the WWE.
Guys, what is going on? This is WrestleMania, back with another episode. Bad news for a whole host of WWE superstars, as the WWE has gone on another cutting spree. Join us now as WrestleMania looks at the latest purge in Titan Tower. Fightful Select's Sean Ross Sapp has revealed a list of WWE's latest releases, including superstars from the main roster and NXT. Keith Lee. The Limitless One proved anything but limitless after his Raw debut fizzled out. Health problems threw Lee's push off track, and despite the WWE trying to repackage him as Bearcat Lee, an homage to territory-era legend Bearcat Wright, the WWE didn't get behind him, despite Lee quickly winning fans over. What's next? As long as Lee's recent health scare is fully resolved, he should be a prime free agent. AEW seems like a natural choice, as the promotion could use more big men, but how many more wrestlers can Tony Khan squeeze into an already bloated roster? If not AEW, Impact and New Japan will be ready to sign him. Karrion Kross. Kross had a huge push on NXT, and despite an untimely shoulder injury, he enjoyed two dominant reigns as NXT champion. For whatever reason, Vince McMahon couldn't figure out what to do with him, and he crashed in his debut match, losing to Jeff Hardy and never gaining any momentum. A bizarre costume change marked the beginning of the end, and the absence of Cross's manager Scarlett, who adds so much to his act, only confirmed fans' worst fears about his future.
Okay, just a minute.
Goodbye.
Just a minute. Sorry, you know, as I'm posting this right now, and as we're listening to this and everything, but you heard the voices of Karrion Kross and Keith Lee on this. We're going to get back on it just about now. No, not yet. I'm going through these commercials right now, and, you know, I don't want you guys to miss out on what's about to happen. Okay, here we go.
Next, Karrion Kross is too good for AEW to not consider signing him. Like Keith Lee, the only concern is where to fit him. Given Impact Wrestling's failure to sign Braun Strowman and Bray Wyatt, it may reach out to Kross with a generous offer. Scarlett Bordeaux. Kross's real-life fiancé has been an important part of Karrion Kross's act, adding a combination of mystique and a femme fatale quality whenever she shows up. The WWE's decision to have Scarlett wrestle on her own in dark matches puzzled fans as to what was next for her, and Scarlett became a non-entity, even as Cross seemed adrift on Raw. What's next? Wherever Scarlett goes, it'll likely be by Karrion Kross's side. The two are a great combination, reminiscent of past male and female pairings such as Randy Savage and Elizabeth, Tully Blanchard and Baby Doll, and Edge and Lita. A promoter would have to be a fool not to pair them together. Eva Marie. Unlike many of the previously mentioned wrestlers, Eva Marie enjoyed a substantial push, getting plenty of vignettes hyping her return, and a major program alongside protégé-turned-eventual foe Doudrop. Sadly, Eva Marie's in-ring skills showed zero improvement following her WWE sabbatical. This is one cut that makes sense in light of Eva Marie's talent. What's next? Eva Marie has many business endeavors outside wrestling, including acting, modeling, and fashion design. Nia Jax. Many fans are asking what took so long for the WWE to release Nia Jax, a female wrestler whose size and strength saw her crossover into occasional matches in the men's division, but whose sloppiness in the ring led to more than one injury to her opponents. Following her 2016 main roster debut, Jax distinguished herself with a Raw Women's Championship reign and two runs as the Women's Tag Team Champions alongside Shayna Baszler. Jax's reputation for sloppiness, combined with her failure to improve, likely led to her release. What's next? Although Jax stands out among her peers due to her size and strength, the 37-year-old's careless work in the ring could make promoters, other than indie promoters, hesitant to sign her. B-Fab. SmackDown got a shot in the arm when the popular and charismatic NXT faction Hit Row debuted on the Blue brand. However, the Fantastic Foursome is now a Titanic trio, thanks to the WWE releasing B-Fab. Did the WWE feel the group didn't need two females, or is this just the first step in Hit Row disappearing from WWE? What's next? Although B-Fab can find work on the indie circuit, her chances of full-time work in a promotion could depend on what happens to the rest of Hit Row. Grand Metalik. The Lucha House Party's Grand Metalik and Lince Dorado have reportedly been unhappy with their WWE push and asked for the releases. With the WWE looking to trim its roster wherever possible, this release was inevitable. What's next? A return to Lucha Libre or Japan seems likely, and perhaps the biggest question is whether Metalik will continue to team with Lince Dorado. Lince Dorado. Like Metalik, Dorado's exit is no surprise, and his future mirrors Grand Metalik's. What's next? Dorado has the same options as Grand Metalik and may take his time before signing with one promotion. Mia Yim. Yim seemed to be thrust into a major angle when she was promoted from NXT to the main roster, participating in the Retribution storyline as Reckoning. Despite a strong start, the group fizzled out and Yim was drafted to SmackDown, only to find herself traded back to Raw. Sadly for the talented wrestler, the trade was the extent of any movement in her career, and now she finds herself unemployed alongside fiancé Keith Lee. What's next? Yim is a former Knockouts champion and may be able to find work in Impact, and certainly on the indie circuit. Harry Smith. Smith is no stranger to the WWE, having worked in the promotion's developmental territories for several years before finally jumping to the main roster in 2009. The son of WWE Hall of Famer Davey Boy Smith, Harry's run in the Hart Dynasty alongside Tyson Kidd led to two tag team championships, but nevertheless, the WWE released him in 2011. Smith wasted no time following his release, making a name for himself in Japan and Major League Wrestling until rumors of him returning to WWE began to surface. Smith's return to WWE was short-lived, however, with his only major role being to induct his late father into the WWE Hall of Fame. What's next? A return to Japan or MLW seems likely for Smith. Ember Moon. Ember Moon spent 3 years in NXT and ironically ended her WWE career there. Despite her notable in-ring skills and a definitive gimmick, Moon's repeated injuries stalled her main roster career. In 2020, Moon returned from a lengthy injury, working in NXT and winning the NXT Women's Tag Team Championship. What's next? At 33, Moon should have little trouble finding work as long as she can avoid the injury bug. A return to the indie circuit should keep Moon busy, and she has options with AEW and smaller promotions such as Impact, Women of Wrestling, aka WOW, and others. Frankie Monet. Monet, who is married to WWE superstar John Morrison, began working in NXT in 2021, working as part of the Robert Stone brand faction and pursuing the NXT Women's Championship. What's next? Monet has announced she is working under her previous name, Taya Valkyrie, and considering her previous success in AAA and Impact, she should have no problem finding work. Oney Lorcan. With NXT retooling to focus on younger and bigger wrestlers, 35-year-old Oney Lorcan's release is not unexpected. What's next? A return to the indie circuit seems likely for Lorcan. Jesse Kamea. 4 years in NXT didn't lead to any major moves for Kamea, including a brief run in Evolve when the WWE loaned out NXT stars. As fans know, a lack of a push isn't always indicative of talent, but with Jesse being 33, the WWE apparently gave up. What's next? Jesse has options on the indie circuit and could find temporary work in Impact or AEW. Zeta Ramier. According to Wrestling News, Ramier was working in the WWE's developmental system and, based on this release, apparently didn't fit in with the WWE's plans for NXT. What's next? Considering Ramier was only in developmental, it's difficult to predict what's next for her. It's worth mentioning that she previously worked in Shimmer and Impact and may find work there or on the indie circuit. Trey Baxter. Like several of the released NXT stars, Baxter doesn't appear to fit with Vince McMahon's vision for NXT 2.0. Baxter competed for the Cruiserweight Championship, the antithesis of a brand focused on big men. What's next? Given his indie experience and past work in Impact, Baxter will likely end up on AEW's YouTube programs and find work on the indie circuit. Katrina Cortez. Chilean grappler Katrina Cortez made two appearances on the main roster, but spent much of her WWE run in NXT. What's next? Cortez is only 25, which means she has plenty of time to perfect her craft and her time in the WWE should add to her value on the indie circuit. Jeet Rama. Indian wrestler Jeet Rama has spent the last 6 years in NXT, and on paper, seemed like a good fit for WWE's rumored plans to launch an NXT India in the near future. While Rama fits Vince McMahon's big man image, he stands a reported 6'4", the 40-year-old may be seen as someone who isn't worth investing in any further. What's next? At 40, Rama may decide to hang up the boots and consider a role as a trainer. Of course, the big question is why the WWE has released so many wrestlers. Naturally, budget cuts is the go-to answer, but it's an implausible reason given the WWE's latest financials. 4th November 2021 saw the WWE post its Quarter 3 earnings report, with Wrestling News' Andrew Ravens noting the company's revenue was $255.8 million, an increase of 15% or $34.2 million, primarily driven by higher ticket sales and, to a lesser extent, venue merchandise sales, resulting from the company's return to ticketed live events, including SummerSlam. Well, guys,
All right, right there. Want to go ahead and say thank you very much to WrestleMania for all that information and everything else like that. So many superstars were released from this company, which is completely crazy. Some that I already knew right away that their time was come, and others that were not even given a chance, and there were others that you wonder, okay, why are they even there anyway? You know, in the first place. You know, what was the point? So, right now, at this point, the main event's looking into a list right now to see what we can adjust from all this, because it just seems so funny. I'm trying to see if there's a list of superstars that were released from, because obviously they showed the list here. I had a list of it here somewhere. I wonder if I can... actually, you know what? I think I can find it. Let me see if we can. Right now, this one I'm trying to look for, because I had a picture of the list of superstars somewhere in my deal, so that way you guys can get an idea of what I think of it and everything. Okay, so here we go. Okay, go to my photos real quick. I'm looking through my photos right now because some of these I saved and some I have. I don't think they're completely deleted, but I think that there are ones that... Okay, I see that one. I see that one. Okay. Ah, here we go. This is what I was looking for. Okay. So I'm seeing the list of superstars that are right here in front of me. I think there's some people on here that that have not been mentioned, and others that were mentioned, you know, it's just, you know, how it is. So, let's start with the very top of the list, Scarlett Bordeaux. She is the real-life wife of Karrion Kross, who will now subsequently be called Killer Kross from here on out, since he's now released from the WWE. Scarlett was someone that, and let's call it like we see it, she is basically a modified version of Sable, a modern-day version of Sable, because of how beautiful she looked and how, you know, you can't stop looking at this woman no matter what. But also the difference between Scarlett and Sable, obviously because Sable has been on Playboy and she's been a former women's champion, the difference between the two is Scarlett is way more talented than Sable. That's my opinion. That's my thought about it. Despite the fact that they're both beautiful, they're both gorgeous, and yes, that is Brock Lesnar's wife, I like Scarlett a whole lot better than I like Sable, simply because I think more people would like Scarlett more than Sable. Not because of beauty and all that stuff, but the fact that Scarlett has talent, has potential, has something to bring to the WWE. Now, whatever reason as to why this had to happen is unbelievable. It's truly unbelievable. And Scarlett was never... She was given a chance to do something in NXT. She was a part of Karrion Kross's gimmick from the start, right? And it seemed good. And then all of a sudden, Scarlett was absent from the company, right? Was absent from NXT for a while. And all of us thought that she would probably appear with Karrion Kross and everything else like that, but that didn't happen. But we'll talk more about Karrion Kross in a moment. The next person on the list is Frankie Monet. Frankie Monet, who is known as Taya Valkyrie, who is the real-life wife of John Morrison, who is working in WWE right now. Frankie Monet was someone that I had saw, not only did I see potential in, but someone that I feel should have been the next NXT Women's Champion. To me, personally, she should have been the NXT Women's Champion and not Mandy Rose. That's my opinion, that's my thought, that's my process of it. For whatever reason, Frankie Monet, who only showed up, let's see, she showed up in the main roster, or she showed up at NXT when, what, in the beginning of the year, right? She showed up almost around what, March, April, I think, is when she showed up. And all of a sudden, I mean, she had, what, a few months on the roster. She was very impressive in the ring. She did everything right. She looked gorgeous doing it. And now all of a sudden, they released her. She was a part of this whole Robert Stone brand bullshit. And then all of a sudden, NXT 2.0 comes along. And then before you know it, I mean, I really thought, I don't know whose decision was it to not have Frankie Monet go over instead of... to me, because she had a match with Raquel Gonzalez, and I feel she should have been champion right there. And I'm not saying that Raquel Gonzalez does not deserve to be the champion. I felt she should have been the one to take the spot, and then maybe Raquel Gonzalez will either go to the main roster or stay in NXT. But now, with Frankie Monet being released, all that is completely out the window. So. And I'm not even sure how John Morrison feels about this, but it should be interesting. The next person was Trey Baxter, who was a part of NXT for a while. He didn't really do much, so I can understand him being released. The next one, Ember Moon. Let me call it like I see it. And with all due respect to Ember Moon, she did great as NXT Women's Champion. I felt she should have been given a whole lot more of a better chance in the main roster. Was never given any sort of chance at all. So they moved her back to NXT, who she was a... The only accomplishment she did when she came back was to be not only a part of War Games, she was also a part of the NXT Women's Tag Team Championships. You know, she held on to that title for a while, which is okay. Her being released... I think it's a good call, and this is nothing against her. It's the fact that she's had some previous injuries. We thought her career was over, and then all of a sudden she returned. So who knows if these injuries have came back, and who knows if there's anything that Ember Moon can do. If she goes anywhere, she could go back to reality wrestling, which is Booker T's camp. She could be great for AEW if they can allow her to be a part of it or something like that. I think she would be great for Impact Wrestling. I could see that happening for her. But we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens in the future with her. We mentioned Scarlett. Karrion Kross. This is a guy that should have been number one. He should have been the guy for the main roster. But to me, let me call it like I see it. Karrion Kross is their biggest star in NXT. Karrion Kross was the man. He defeated some of the best NXT stars, walking God's green earth, was champion for a while, and then lost the championship and then gained it back this year, right? And he was someone that I felt should have been a main roster. But from the moment they moved him over to the main roster, all of a sudden we had Karrion Kross not looking like a killer. And now all of a sudden he comes into the main roster looking like an ex-member of Demolition. And it's bad. It's extremely bad. I mean, look, Karrion had all the tools, has all the qualifications. And what's worse, you had Scarlett. He had Scarlett for a while. Then all of a sudden, when he goes to the main roster, there's no Scarlett. My thing is, and all of us were thinking the same thing too, maybe that Karrion Kross will have some wins going around and then may add Scarlett to, say, the end of the year. And then Karrion Kross to me. And I picked him as one of the individuals that could possibly win the Royal Rumble next year. But now, it's not going to happen. So to me, both Scarlett and Karrion Kross would be perfect for NXT or for perfect for AEW. Also, they could be perfect for Impact Wrestling. And also, and this is something I've been waiting a long, long time to do, and I hope that happens. We know that Impact Wrestling has Moves as their world champion. Disgraceful, by the way. If Karrion Kross or Killer Kross were to come back at NXT with, or come back to Impact Wrestling with Scarlett, number one, they would run the show. Number two, Killer Kross will finally become the champion. And I hope that happens. I hope that happens. But I don't know if Impact Wrestling is willing to take Karrion Kross back. But we'll see what happens. If Impact Wrestling is smart, they'll have him back. They'll have him go after Moose. And they'll have him become the champion. That's my opinion. However it goes. Oney Lorcan. It's going to be tough to see Oney Lorcan out. He was tag teams with Danny Burch for a long time. I thought they were great together. They were great NXT tag team champions. Maybe they left because of his age difference and everything, and that, I think that's the reason for that. Oney Lorcan will probably be good for AEW, probably good for New Japan Pro Wrestling. We'll see what happens with that. B-Fab. Oh, my God. B-Fab, who was a part of Hit Row. My God, that woman is like, I ain't gonna lie, she's fucking hot as hell. And she was perfect for Hit Row. Hit Row is basically NXT's version of the Rough Riders or Bone Thugs and Harmony. I mean, that's the kind of thing. Pretty much NXT 2.0 was based around Hit Row. Think about it. Think of the music that they're putting on now. You know, we went from having Slipknot and Corey Taylor to having Whale. Orale, right there. The front door. Out! B-Fab. Oh, God. Just bring B-Fab back to Hit Row. It makes a whole lot of fucking sense. But if B-Fab goes to AEW, would be good. If she goes to Impact Wrestling, would be good as well. I mean, wherever she goes, I just hope she gets a job. But I want her back with Hit Row. I don't give a fuck what anyone says. Get her back with Hit Row. Is she dating anybody? Anyways, Jesse Kamea. I think she appeared in NXT for a while. She really didn't do much and everything. And, you know, that's one cut that I'm sorry. And I really don't want to see somebody get fired, but she's someone that I don't think had the qualifications, as far as I'm concerned. Zadea Ramira. I think she's the masked woman wrestler. She was in the main roster for a little bit, and then all of a sudden went back to NXT, and then everything just went down the way it did. So, Once again, her push is out the window. Then you got Grand Metalik and Lince Dorado. Both were part of the Lucha House Party. It was only a matter of time before those two were released from the WWE. And they asked for their release a while back. And they got their wish. They got their the deal and everything. So that's it. Let's finish with them. And hopefully we'll see them in maybe AEW, maybe Impact Wrestling, maybe New Japan Pro Wrestling, or maybe they can go back to the AAA promotion. You know, we'll see what happens with them. Let's see. Jeet Rama. Someone that I barely have seen him that much, but once again, he's also another individual that, you know, I'm glad that was also out of the business as well. So we'll see what happens. Katrina Cortez, I believe that's the masked women's wrestler. She was in the main roster. She was, and that's the one that I guess was a part of with Humberto Carrillo for a while, and then all of a sudden that didn't turn out so well. So I can understand her being released here. Now here's a few names I'm gonna leave out here. I see Nia Jax, the next one, which I'll talk about in a moment. Keith Lee, Harry Smith, and Mia Yim and Eva Marie. Now let me start with Eva Marie. First of all, congratulations to the WWE for finally doing something right, because the fans have been tired of Eva Marie. And while the WWE can say, and this is the thing that I can see, quote unquote, that they released her because of the fact that she was given opportunities to go to Hollywood or do films or whatever, that is their reason for letting her go. No, I don't believe that for a moment. Here's why. To me, and we all see it, you see it, I see it, the world sees it. Eva Marie, beautiful, gorgeous, hot, and you would want to fuck the shit out of her if you wanted to. But the only reason why she was released was because of the fact that she didn't do too good. The vignettes were fine. I was expecting something different out of Eva Marie. I was hoping for SummerSlam to be the moment when she shined. She didn't. She couldn't pull it off. And the only reason why the WWE wanted to bring her in is because she looks hot, she looks gorgeous, and she has that particular deal. But I think the reason why she was released, her age. And she was terrible in the ring. Instead, the WWE says, well, the only reason why we released her is because she's getting all these other offers to go to Hollywood or go do films and go do lingerie models or something like that. Nah, fuck that. You knew she was bad. You don't want to go out and tell us that she was bad. You decided to go ahead and go with something different. That's how it worked. Mia Yim, and we'll also talk about Keith Lee in a moment. Harry Smith, I had a feeling that he was only going to be there just to induct his father in the WWE Hall of Fame. That was the only reason. Because after that, Harry Smith should have appeared right after WrestleMania. Or Harry Smith should have appeared at NXT or something. But when he was released, I said, we obviously know why he was there. Nia Jax. Oh, let me tell you something, guys. Nia Jax being released is not a surprise. It's not a surprise at all. It's not. Because, look, everyone's been having problems with her. Everyone. The talk has been that Nia Jax was a sloppy worker. Nia Jax didn't know how to wrestle. Nia Jax, you know, hurt some people along the way. So this has to make a lot of fans happy that she is no longer with the company. Very happy. So now, with her being released from the WWE, do we feel bad for her? Possibly. But there was a lot of other issues that I heard that that were brought to the attention. Something about she was taking some time off, some stuff. And I think we just mentioned it on the Main Event Talk podcast, where she had talked about, I think, what was it, that she was taking a leave of absence because of mental issues or something like that. You know, to me, that was just it's a complete excuse, but I think, to the WWE's extent, whether you agree with it or not, I think her being released the way she was the right call. It was the right call. I mean, look, I don't have anything against Nia Jax. I think she's a tremendous individual. The problem that I see with her is, you know, I'm just glad that they released her. I'm just glad that they did. Whatever happens is just her cousins Roman Reigns and The Rock will not be able to save her this time. Not be able to save her. It's just crazy. This is absolutely ridiculous. So, will Nia Jax be able to find work with Impact Wrestling or AEW or anything else like that? It wouldn't surprise me. It wouldn't surprise me at all if AEW were to pick up on her. Some people would probably say, no, don't pick up on her. Well, actually, I think they wouldn't mind. Or maybe Impact Wrestling. We'll see what happens. And the last two, Mia Yim and Keith Lee. Mia Yim, who was a former Knockouts champion in Impact Wrestling, someone that I feel deserved a more bigger push. To me, the women's division made a huge mistake releasing her. They didn't give her a big chance. She did extremely well in NXT. Someone that I also felt that should have been NXT Women's Champion didn't happen. And then all of a sudden, she goes over to the main roster where she's been given a ridiculous gimmick involving the Retribution. And then after that, that was it. I mean, that, you know, she got COVID. She was trying to help her husband out, Keith Lee. And then that was it. After that, now all of a sudden they released her, right? Keith Lee. Someone that I felt, all of us felt, should have been given the push that he deserved. But whatever happened, whatever went down, I mean, there's a lot of things that happened. I don't know what the issue was. And to me personally, I think Keith Lee being released, I mean, he just came in as Bearcat Lee. There were so many things about Keith Lee that they came up with. Okay, he did good in NXT. He beat some of the best over there. He won the North American Championship. He won the NXT Championship. And then he lost it over to Karrion Kross. He made a big deal in Survivor Series a couple of years ago during the whole thing with NXT Raw SmackDown. And now all of a sudden Keith Lee had a face-to-face encounter with Brock Lesnar at the Royal Rumble. And now, where is he now? They try to change him. They kept doing all of these stupid things. I don't understand what it is that they have to do. But whatever it is, whatever they did wrong, it's just going to continue to be a bad idea. So this is to all these superstars, you know, to some that were released, that I mentioned, from the Eva Maries to the Nia Jaxes and to everyone else. We're glad that you're gone. And to the rest, I'm sorry that it had to end that way, but I'm sorry, what can you do at this point? It's just so fucking ridiculous right now. But whatever happens next, guys, we'll see what happens. And who knows? Who knows who else is going to be released from the WWE? We'll see what happens. So, guys, we're almost at the conclusion of this episode of the Main Event Talk Podcast. That's going to do it for this edition of this episode of the Main Event Talk Podcast. So, we're going to get right into it. Of course, follow the Main Event on Twitter at twitter.com/@MainEventPlayer. You can also follow me on Instagram at instagram.com/@MainEventPlayer. The Main Event Talk Facebook page is officially closed. We're going to get back on the horse on that one as soon as possible. And then once we get everything back up and running, we should be able to, you know, get right on the stick of things. And if you want to friend request me and proceed at your own risk. That's all I can tell you at this point. All right, guys. So obviously, thank you for listening to this episode of the Main Event Talk Podcast. Subscribe to me on Spotify, on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or wherever it is you find your favorite podcast. I'm the Main Event Player of the Super C, the God Among Gods, the King Among Kings, the coolest son of a motherfucking bitch walking God's green earth. And this episode of the Main Event Talk Podcast is brought to you by Rich's Billiards, 5815 Weber, Not Your Average Heroes, The Legend Continues, and also sponsored by Emo Night. Check out Emo Night as they come back on November 20th. It should be epic on Saturday night. The Main Event should be ready for that. So as always, thank you for listening. I'll see you next time in another great episode of the Main Event Talk Podcast. Why? Because I can and I want to. Any questions? Enough said. Take it easy, guys.